The royal family will go to any lengths to stop Charles and Camilla from being together. Plus, find out about Princess Anne's kidnapping, only here on The Crown After Show right now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Crown After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Sahai Wilson, and tonight we will be talking about Episode 9, Imbroglio. We'll be discussing how Charles is the new Edward, the affair between Camilla and Charles, and how she ultimately got married to someone else. Plus, we have our special segment, The Tweets Are Talking, and find out about Princess Anne's kidnapping in our news and gossip segment. I'm sorry, I said kidnapping. We're also in the live chat. But first, let me introduce you to my lovely co-host, Taran.
I feel like I've been kidnapped. I've been kidnapped and kidnapped and nap-nipped and everything.
Kidnapped is a new word.
I can't wait for that segment. I will tell you that.
It was me with my British accent coming
out.
It's
your Welsh accent,
yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
That's why we're waiting for the segment.
As you see, Taran is my comedic relief. He's an entertainer and my resident historian here. So I just always listen to whatever he gives me, whatever facts he has.
I actually make most of them up. So if you're listening to us in the chat or in the comments below, let us know what the true facts are and how your personal feelings go along with the show. We love hearing from you. So Please, I respond. Trust me, a lot of you know that.
Yes, don't hold back. And I am your host, Sahai Wilson. I am a television producer and social media producer and lover of all things royal family. So let's get into our second to last episode. Can you believe we're close to the end?
Yes.
What were your thoughts on this episode 9, Imbroglio?
Well, it was a very interesting episode, especially with the onset of the new prime minister who took that place, Edward Heath, who is every bit of that elitist status snob that we've been looking for in the royal family but haven't found.
Right.
So it's interesting to see, when faced with elitist politics, how the royal family reacts. Also, with the onset of how much we have a personal opinion regarding Charles and Camilla, and all, to see this behind the scenes, it actually lends such a strong heart and change of mind. So it was a very interesting and compelling episode.
Definitely. A lot of the tweets that I found were saying, I can't believe my feelings towards Charles have changed after watching this show. I enjoyed this episode. You know, the new prime minister, that was like kind of like a B storyline for me, because I was all about this Camilla and Charles situation, because I was like, how did this happen? How did we get to the point where we know, you know, they ended up having an affair and it destroyed his marriage? Just the fact that we're starting to see that was very exciting for me. So let's get into the episode a bit. We see that Edward is deceased. He's dead. He's been flown back to England from France. And he is, you know, Charles is mourning the loss of his uncle. But everyone else seems kind of smug. Did you see Queen Mother's face when they were burying him?
Edward was an epicenter of discontent for the royal family.
Right.
Edward's actions could have destroyed the royal's family. And in fact, this is when you look at the world and think destiny lends itself to politics,
right,
where the right or wrong person happens at the right or wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
This was a perfect example of Queen Elizabeth being the perfectly right person for the most wrong of times.
Right.
And we see that in the intersection of their lives. Edward out with the old, the king is dead, long live the queen.
Right. Edward is the pariah of the family, but at his funeral, everyone else seems to be happy that he's gone except Elizabeth. But Charles seems to be taking it the hardest, and his wife, his now widow, Wallace, ends up giving Charles this clock, like a pendant, and this was also a compass. And she was kind of saying, you need to watch out for your family. And he was like,
not kind of saying, she said.
She said it. But
she was like, your family sucks. They're all the devil. You need to watch out for them.
He was like, no, they mean well.
She was like, no, they're horrible, wretched people who did not want their King to abdicate and marry me, a random American actress who was basically one half prostitute. Like, I don't understand how Wallace doesn't understand.
She was a divorced woman at the time. You know, that was a big issue. And she was just like the wild card. They couldn't figure her out and they couldn't put her in a box. And she was a free spirit, which is what I like about her. Also, at this time, Charles is at Dartmouth. He's studying to go into the Navy. So
he's in basically a Naval Academy program where he is following in the footsteps of his father,
and
his grandfather before him. And this is the status of, I'm going to be the leader of the armed forces. Therefore, I should be acclimated to the armed forces. I should actually have some sort of status, which I actually appreciate in regards to British royal tradition. That's the one area where I felt they completely have it right. If you enter, you have a newfound respect.
Right. You can't just be some Joe Schmo who hasn't, like...
And that happens in a lot of countries. A lot of countries also have where when you turn 18, you serve for 2 years.
Right, right. Well, Charles has to put his acting shoes away, and he's here in the Navy struggling. Those scenes with him in the mud and doing the basic training, I was like, poor thing. He was struggling so much.
Good for him.
I know.
Get down, get dirty, feel what it feels like to be... Well, you're still not the average person.
Right.
However...
But to do some type of hard work.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Philip was totally here for it. He was like, thank goodness, like, this is what you need.
Man up.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the things, going back to Wallace a little bit, she gave him some tips. She said, never turn your back on true love. And she said, and like we said, watch out for your family. Do you think this is what made listening to Wallace and remembering her advice is what made Charles so compelled to kind of stick with this whole Camilla situation all these years?
I think... In this case, when it comes to the narration given by the show, that is perfectly timed words of advice. We've all seen that, where we've been in a moment and something happens, a sign. Show us a sign, and this
right.
was a sign.
Like a bit of foreshadowing. Also, at this time, England is literally back in the Dark Ages because of the new prime minister. There's
not because of him, but
because of his decision, I will say. So basically,
it's his continued lack of negotiation and tactics.
Well, he attempted to negotiate. So basically, the miners decided to go on strike. But from what we saw in the show, there was
he didn't attempt to negotiate. He took the elitist way. Well, this is what we have. Take it or leave it.
Right.
And the miners were asking for basic human rights and protections.
Right. So you don't call it a negotiation. What do you consider a negotiation? Because I'm thinking he offered them something and they declined. So that's what I consider a negotiation.
When it comes to human rights, labor rights, and the will of and good for the people, I will never consider a negotiation something in which the factor is take it or leave it, an ultimatum, or not mutually reciprocating when it's in its benefits. So, for example, if someone came to me during slavery and was like,
oh, Lord.
Okay, well, this is what we'll do. We will whip you 10 times less every day, but you guys keep being slaves. I would say that's not a negotiation.
No, but I'm not saying that it was right what he did. I'm just saying he did offer them something. I think that's what I'm saying. He did come to the table with an offer that may not have been the best, but he did try to give them something, because that's what he kept on telling Elizabeth, like, hey, I'm trying. That's the way he was posing it to her. So basically what happened was the working class resistance at this time is at an all-time high, and Scargill is the head of the resistance, and all they want is a wage increase the same as the factory workers, which I thought was reasonable. If the factory workers get more money, why shouldn't the miners get more money? And what really hit home was that scene when Scargill put the piece of coal on the desk.
Yes.
And told Heath with your pretty nice hands.
Touch it.
Yeah. Feel
touch it.
Now, I will say my favorite thing on a man is nice hands. So I was like, darn, he's going to get not you.
Okay.
Not
you. Such a hater.
When he showed us that coal, it really made us realize, wow, this job is so difficult. This is what the people in Aberfan were dealing with. This, you know, he said they're literally in hell.
They are. In mine... mine work is not easy at all. We also have substantial miners in the United States. So when people who do very difficult jobs are underappreciated, which we have done, unfortunately, to our teachers and to our laborers, And when people use things like unions are un-American or against the will of the nation, I just look down on it and say, this is actually organizing for your interests, or interest groups, is part of the American tradition. And that actually stems from that British tradition.
Right. I think the elites feel like, oh, you did this to yourself. You didn't get an education. You weren't born.
Especially Edward Heath, by the way.
Right. You weren't born. But even though Edward did try to say, listen, like my parents had to.
Exactly.
Had that piano on a payment plan. They couldn't afford a piano, so they got me an organ. You know, I come from a working class family, which I appreciated hearing.
And that's one of the things, very unusual for a Conservative Party member to come from an lower middle class family, work their way up, become, and also believe in the system that the conservative class believes in. 51 years Edward Heath has spent in Parliament as a politician, 51 years until I think 2001. Mm-hmm. So, and also in this time as Prime Minister, the biggest thing he did, which was just undone, he took the UK, he took the United Kingdom into the European Union. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing.
Yeah.
Not to little what he did. However, it was one of the, well, I did it, why can't you syndromes that happen?
Right.
And it's not always that easy
or
simple.
Not at all.
And that's why. And we see this in some of our problems. Ben Carson was very similar in his way of thinking.
Yes.
And that, exactly. And that sentiment was something that carried itself through my research in Britain as well, is the oh Lord sentiment, like, here he goes again.
Exactly, because he feels like, you know, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and you're over here still in your boots pulling out some coal, so yeah. It's your fault.
And
so.
I've always felt like it's not just enough to say, I will walk a mile in someone else's shoes. You have to walk with their legs and their knowledge of how to walk.
Agreed.
And that's what makes it very difficult.
So what PM Heath says, the solution to this, because there's a back and forth between he and the miners, and they're kind of at a standstill. And he tells Elizabeth, he's like, hey, we're good. We have 8 more weeks of coal left. Nothing's going to stop us. And then when he realizes that the miners are holding out a bit longer than he expected, they decide to have cut the electricity at
yes.
certain times of the day for several hours, putting them literally back in the dark ages with the candles. People can't heat their homes properly. People can't cook properly. Can you imagine if that happened to us in the States? I mean, I know it happened in New York a couple of years ago where there was like a big blackout, but it's New York, you know it's going to get fixed. But can you imagine not being able to charge your cell phone?
Yes. So while this does not happen in the United States as often, being someone who is a frequent resident of a third world country,
right.
I'm very used to and acclimated to situations like this where the lights go out, there's no electricity, there's no heat, there's system disarray.
Right.
Fortunately for the United States, that is not the case, to the point where a lot of times we are very spoiled.
When
something happens, catastrophe happens, something very minute. When it rains in Los Angeles, people lose their minds.
It rained today, guys, and the
people
streets
don't
were
know
packed.
How to drive. People are just spinning out of control, like, oh no, why? I saw a young lady go onto the street and literally melt. She melted into the sewer, and all that was left were her silicone breasts that floated away. They floated away. I didn't do it. I don't write the rules.
You know, that
I'm melting.
One of the things, thank you, Teron. One of the things that was also interesting, did you see Elizabeth and her mom in their fur coats in the house? That's how cold it was. They had to pull out the furs. And I was like, okay, other people have like a blanket and these ladies are pulling out the old school
sure.
furs to keep warm. But it shows you how cold it was. And everybody, you know, it's not their fault that they're only one of their options is a fur, but it just shows you the difference and that the whole country as a whole was being affected. So, you know, people can't even buy candles. There's now shortages of the things that, you know, I'm sure Heath didn't anticipate this. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to tell people to turn off the electricity for a couple hours. They can light some candles. Oh, yeah, the candles are now being sold out. And it just had this cyclical effect that was affecting the entire country. So, but you know what affects me?
What affects you?
When people aren't watching AfterBuzz shows.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm melting. That's why we appreciate each and every one of you for commenting, subscribing, sharing, spreading the love, sharing the word, letting everyone know we are the best Crown After show in the world. That's not my opinion. It's all of you. Even the ones who hate me so much love watching our After show, and we appreciate that. Thank you so much. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars we so greatly deserved. We appreciate each and every one of you for being citizens, no, denizens, I say, of our After show. Here at AfterBuzz, we thank you for making us being the ESPN of TV talk.
Thank you so much. Our girl, Merle Ortega, is in the chat right now. She said, I can't believe the Queen Mother had something to do with Camilla marrying her ex-husband. We will get to that, Merle. Girl, it's a mess. Also, thank you to everyone that commented on one of our previous episodes, episode 7. We had Four Primus, Martina Prezesian, Merle again, hey girl, and then Marisha Smid. You know, they were in the comments, and thank you so much. I'm going to read a little bit more from the live chat. Merle is in it. She said, can the women in the royal family join the military? Is that a... I don't know. I know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I know we will later hear about Princess Anne, who is an Olympian. So they can, you know, do some things. I'm not sure about the military.
Well, let's be very fair. Until very recently, women weren't even allowed to join the American military, and we consider ourselves extremely liberal when it comes to these matters. So it's just an interesting component. And if it was me, the military would be comprised of only women,
right?
If it was me. First of all, it would be, we would have less wars.
True.
But second of all, when we did have wars, they would be much more violent and or final. They would be final.
Yeah.
They would be final. That would be it. There would be no Desert Storm 2.
Right.
You know?
It would be done and
It'd be done. We're never speaking to each other again. It's over.
That works. Okay. So did they really kind of say what happened at the end with the whole electricity situation? We just assume that everything worked out and they came
to... Great Britain has never had electricity since. No. That's it. They have not.
But they never talked about how it got resolved.
Resolved after compromise, further compromise and negotiation.
Did the miners get the money that they wanted?
They definitely got more benefits.
Okay.
And it went more their way.
Got it. Okay.
Mining is a very huge part. Let's be very real. England has potatoes and coal.
Right, that's
so it. That's how it works.
That's why they go everywhere else for everything. One of the other things that I noticed in this conversation that Heath kept on having with Elizabeth is just like, here she goes again. I feel like she's always blindsided by these huge situations that end up affecting everyone. He's like, oh, by the way, she's like, let's talk about this strike. And he's like, no, I got this. And it's just, I feel like she's always kind of one step behind knowing this information, even though they have these weekly chats. So do you feel like they withhold information from her until they really, really like have to let her know?
Yes.
Horrible. You know what else was horrible? This whole Charles and Camilla situation.
Was it though?
You know, it was sad seeing Charles so sad. He really loved her. And meanwhile, Camilla still got the ex over at the house with her.
I know. It's sad to watch Charles have to go through heartbreak like everybody else. Do you listen to songs on the radio? Everyone always feels like heartbreak is, they're the only ones going, it's never been this bad. I've never been this hard. No one understands how I've been. Everyone understands how you feel except for me. Everyone understands heartbreak. This happens. He was caught in a love triangle to the point where he's on the phone and the other guy is there.
Andrew Parker
Charles Bowles. Was the side chick, and the only reason Camilla would have ever partnered with Charles was either to get back at the ex, move on to the next, or make sure that she one day could stand next to him as queen.
Totally. And in this episode, I was like, are we going to hear that this was all set up by someone? Did Uncle Dickie connect Charles and Camilla as a distraction? Is that what we were hearing?
I think Uncle Dickie just thought that Camilla was going to be just a slur from school. Just this
slur is one of my favorite words.
This is one of the slurs that you mess around with. Because he wasn't even listening. He was like, Charles was like, I think she's the one that you smashed, right? you just smashed and never talked to her again, right, brother? And then Charles was like, no, Uncle Dickie, I'm trying to explain. I think Camilla has a special place in my heart. And your heart's on your balls, right?
I can't.
He didn't hear your balls.
But what I loved about this is that here it is, you know, Andrew Parker Bowles, to him, Camilla was this woman that he could play around with. And it shows you that one man's trash is another man's treasure. Here it is, Charles found her to be the one woman that he felt like he should be spending the rest of his life with. And here it is. She was still hung up on the bad guy. You know, the good guy is treating her the way she wants. And then the bad guy is more exciting.
Why
and
do we think Andrew's a bad guy?
I mean, he was cheating on her left and right. He cheated on her with
they
Charles'
were obviously
sister.
Polyamorous.
No,
I don't judge their
but
relationship.
No, I don't think the relationship started out that way.
Because she's on the phone having a conversation. He's like, oh, you're on the phone with Charles? All right.
No, but
cool.
It didn't Listen. Start out that way. We saw in that previous episode, she did it. And as many women do, when you know, we try to be strong and we try to say, okay, I can handle this. But men are built a
all
different
right,
way.
Calm down,
Listen,
Beyonce.
No, listen, but men are built a different way. So they can easily mm-hmm. sometimes, not all men, but some men can easily hop from one woman to another. But a woman, sometimes she wants to be more loyal. And then when you scorn her, then she's like, okay, I'm going to show you how it's really done. And that's what ended up happening here. But mm-hmm. there was still a genuine love between the two of them. That's why they couldn't let go of each other.
Okay.
My analysis.
Sure. I understand why you would feel this way. And I don't know who hurt you, but
no one hurt me.
This
it's
is
just life experience.
When it comes to other forms of life experience, is it possible to love two people at the same
totally,
time?
Totally. I think the reason that Camilla started cheating with Charles is because she had already been hurt by Andrew. It didn't start out that way. He did something to her. He flipped the switch on her. He made her the beast and the savage that she became. She wasn't always like that. It's his
I
fault.
I get it. I'm a child of divorce. I watch too much MTV. We can justify actions however we would like. However, whether it comes down to it or not, Camilla and Andrew were involved.
Yes.
Charles comes in.
Yes.
Camilla didn't. Here we have the answer.
Yep.
We have a guy who's technically a good guy for all accounts, especially in the depiction in The Crown.
Right.
I mean, we love Charles. Yeah. Charles is the sweet. Even his ears are adorable. I mean, we're looking at who's playing Charles? Who's playing Charles? What's
Charles
the actor's name?
Charles is played by
Josh O'Connor. Josh O'Connor is now who I think of when I
so
think
handsome,
of Charles.
And we love him.
He's so cute. He's got this shy demeanor. The little when he tucks his like. I mean, I guess, like, when he does that,
right.
We love him.
And stay tuned for our next episode, because we'll talk about how things will change in season 4 with Charles. But, you know, we see that Charles says, Uncle Dickie, I love her. Let's make this work. Like you said, Uncle Dickie is like, what? No, this is not what was supposed to happen. So then he and Queen Mother conspire to get Camilla married to Andrew.
Let me do something for you that's a favor to all of you.
Oh.
To all of you. To all of you. Let's change the race of the royal family.
Okay.
Let's make the royal
family
a black family in Atlanta. And it all makes sense. Uncle Dickie is like, what's up, brother? Yeah, how's that girl doing? No, Uncle Dickie.
Okay,
I love
her.
And then it's like, no. And then goes and talks to some hot mama. Guess what's happening? You're never going to believe what Charles did. Charlie fell in love with that slore.
Okay, I don't
That's
apologize.
How it went down.
If you
change the vernacular, and you would have no disillusions with what happened. He decided on the wrong girl, and then uncle and mom. By the way, different sides of the family. Uncle Dickie and Queen Mother. Just look at Tyler Perry dressed as a queen.
I'm done with
okay.
this
All
Tyler
I'm saying
Perry
is you would totally Madea
no,
and Uncle Dickie. Okay.
No, I'm done with this idea.
I'm helping you out.
Thank you. I appreciate it, but I'm done. Queen Mother, I think what she and Uncle Dickie had in common was that they wanted to keep things the way they were. They were very hell-bent on keeping the establishment, you know, pure and clean and having control over
it. Yeah, who's this mudblood?
Right. And then and Camilla was not part of that, you know. That's why Queen Mother was able to call upon Andrew's family and Camilla's family and say, listen, sit down here. I'm going to tell you how this is going to go. This is what your kids are going to do because you're not messing up my grandson's life, even though, you know, she ended up doing it. Anywho, which we will hopefully see more of in season 4.
By the way, Camilla comes from kind of an esteemed family. It's not like she came from poverty and she was just there, right? So she's the eldest child of Major Bruce Shand and his wife, Rosalind Cubitt.
Mm-hmm.
the daughter of Roland Cubitt,
okay,
who's the third Baron of Ashcombe. So, okay, so here we have.
Yeah, because
they
have she couldn't have been at the polo games and in those circles.
Yeah,
if she was
raised
just a
in East
life.
Sussex. She's
right,
lived a great life.
She didn't have the same kind of credibility that they were.
Yeah,
looking
yeah.
For.
She wasn't the pedigree that they wanted.
Exactly.
Definitely
so
not. And it still made her way into the family. Though.
Totally. She's a social climber. Definitely.
She made her way into that family.
Definitely. So the solution between Uncle Dickie and Queen Mother is to send Charles over to the Caribbean, which I was like, okay, why I gotta be the Caribbean? So you're saying all the hot women in the sun are gonna suddenly change his mind and make, you know, him totally
no,
forget
no, no,
about
no.
Camilla?
They're just getting him as far from the UK as possible.
Okay, that makes sense.
And remember, we often forget this, but when you go to countries, the Queen of England is on their money for a reason.
Totally.
Because they are, regardless whether they are they're independent or not, Canada, the Caribbean, Australia, they're all somehow connected
very
to the UK.
Much so.
They are still very much a colony.
Very much so. I mean, even when I watch the show and I see the behavior, like somehow, sometimes when the Queen or some of the other family members don't respond by saying much, they just say, that reminds me of my family so much. And you can see the British influence in the Caribbean.
Very much, especially in the Caribbean.
Yeah,
especially in the Caribbean.
So, you know, they send Charles away. Charles is pissed. He sees, as he's getting these new orders, that shot when he sees his mother's picture looming over him. It was as if saying, she'll always be watching.
Like, I'll never let you go.
I know. And then Charles is heartbroken and his mother feels sorry for him. But while we see the end of this romance between Charles and Camilla, we see Elizabeth and Philip celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
Where Elizabeth delivers a speech and she says, no matter what, I believe in family and I believe in marriage. Which I found really, you know, she'd been through a lot with him and they seem to be stronger than ever at this point in their relationship.
Very much do we like the Queen's marriage at this point. I remember season one and season two.
Yeah.
We were off it. We were like, what's going on? What is wrong? We were looking at Prince Philip like, what is wrong with you, Philip?
I know.
And now we're like, we like you, Philip.
I know.
Come to Philip.
Philip has done good by this point. But let's get into our special segment, The Tweets Are Talking, before we wrap up. So, you know, I like to chrome. The Tweets Are Talking is when I chrome Twitter to find out what the people are saying about the episode. And I'll kind of go through these a little bit quickly. We have our first tweet from Robin Ann Lucero. I'll just say their real names. And it says, no excuse for going in the wrong direction. Mm. That's what Wallace said to Charles when she gave him that clock. Do we call it a pendant? I can't remember.
I'm not rich enough to know.
The next tweet says, been watching season 3 of The Crown, and I'm reminded again of how much I want a little bell I can press when I'd like someone to go away.
100%. I think about that every time. She just presses the button. The person, literally, it's like a dog you've trained. The person gets up and leaves. Before the servant can come in, he's like, all right.
And we're pulling
right,
up those
bitch,
tweets
I'm
so
leaving.
You guys can see them who are watching with us. Do you notice how it went from a bell to like technology has
a
advanced
buzzer.
And it's a buzzer now.
And now, but it went back because there was no electricity.
Exactly. Next tweet is, just saw The Crown season 3's imbroglio, and again, never imagined seeing Charles with Netflix eyes. I'm sorry for him, but not too much for Camilla. If she had trusted her heart, at this moment she would be the princess, but she didn't, and then we met Diana.
Mm.
Spoiler alert. Another, Ivana.
History is never a spoiler alert. I often say that about people when they're like, don't tell me what happened at the end of Titanic. It's like, we all know.
I know. You could Google it. It's sad. Ivana Mitrovic says, aw, Charles, hashtag imbroglio.
Yeah.
And then Make It Make Sense says, I'm so ready for Princess Diana on The Crown Netflix. As am I.
We're getting another season. I hope everyone knows what imbroglio means. Basically, an extremely extremely confused, complicated, or embarrassing situation is the concept.
And that seems to be the theme of the royal family as a whole. Next tweet is a image of the new Charles and Diana. Speaking of Diana, Josh O'Connor... Source says, Josh O'Connor and Emma Corrin as Prince Charles and Princess Diana on the set of The Crown season 4. And then we have some close-ups of the photos that he included for that tweet. And
who are they going to get to play Meghan Markle? Meghan Markle?
Hopefully. Okay. She's a trained actress. Next, from Jay Smith, we have, Dear Netflix, after seeing episode 9 of The Crown, I'm going to need you to make a spinoff of Princess Anne's adventures in the 60s and 70s. Loving Princess Anne so much.
Yeah, she can get it. What?
I can't. Then speaking of Princess Anne again, because, you know, we saw her a little bit in this episode where she had to come in and spill the beans. She was like, yes, Mom, I had an affair.
Mommy.
Understand, this is what happened.
Mommy, I just took his penis, Mommy.
I can't.
It happens. I'm sorry, Mommy, but this is what we do for fun.
But like, I loved it because something. She was like, you know, oh, you guys think I'm like a shrinking violet. You know, here's what really happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elizabeth was shocked, but Queen Mother was like,
Like, quote of the show, however, goes to Uncle Dickie. You don't love a girl like Camilla Shan. She's a bit of fun. Can we get that tweet? I think that was a direct quote. I think they actually sourced that. I'm pretty sure.
You never know. Uncle Dickie is quite a character, and I'm sure he had many ladies himself.
Mountbatten.
Yes.
They don't call him Mountbatten for nothing.
The final tweet is from the year. The new year is right in front of you. It says, so, # The Crown Netflix skipped over so much concerning Princess Anne, her first marriage, the Olympics, and the kidnapping attempt.
Oh, my God.
That leads us into our next segment, News and Gossip.
Ooh.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So we have an article from... Yes. We have an article from OWN where they give us 7 fun facts about Princess Anne, Queen Elizabeth II's daughter. So I'll give you a couple of these. Number one, Princess Anne's first wedding was nationally televised. While the 3rd season of The Crown depicts Anne's brief affair with Andrew Parker Bowles in the 70s, season 4 will likely touch on the princess's relationship with her first husband, Captain Mark Phillips. Excited to see that. Number 2, as I mentioned, Princess Anne is an Olympian. She is the first ever royal to have competed in the Olympics. And she's won a gold medal and 2 silver medals in the European 3-day event championships in 1971 and 75. You see, our girl is riding horses and living her best life. Anne also has 2 kids and 4 grandchildren. She and Philip share children, Peter Phillips, who's 41, and Zara Tyndall, who's 38. She says, their kids didn't get like royal titles, and they're actually very happy about that. So that was interesting.
Mm.
Also, the princess was once nearly kidnapped. Like, think about that. Like, can you imagine being a princess and being kidnapped? And how it happened was funny. So basically, there was a mentally ill man who was along the mall where they drive into the palace. And she basically kind of decided, she was like, I'm not going to be crazy and act crazy towards him. And she spoke very calmly to him. And she said, basically, he said I had to go with him. I can't remember why. I said I didn't really want to go. I was scrupulously polite, but I thought there's no need to be rude at this stage. And we had a fairly low-key discussion. But this madman, he was attempting to capture and hold the princess for a ransom of $2 million.
Oh my gosh, that's not crazy at all. In fact, that sounds extremely sane. that's the thing. A mentally ill white male. That's so crazy.
But he ended up shooting 2 policemen, the royal's driver, Sheesh. And a nearby journalist.
So. He sounds like he was a trained assassin, just to be very fair. That doesn't sound like a mentally ill. That sounds like a cover-up.
Right. And then how was a journalist just happened to be right there? Like, that's kind of weird. But the fact that she talked
to he's a blogger. He's a blogger.
Could have been. The fact that she talked her way out of her own attempted kidnapping just gives me more respect for her.
You have to love Princess Anne. She can get it. And also, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty.
I mean, that's our jam.
They stole that from us. Okay, we stole it from them.
Yes, exactly. But final note is that Princess Anne has been dubbed the busiest royal. In 2017, it was reported that she clocked in more time than any of the other royal family members, making 455 public appearances in England and 85 overseas, a total of 540 appearances in 365 days. So our goal
so they count each appearance as a separate one, because I'm like, that's more days than there are in the year. So if she goes to 2 different places, that's not 1 public appearance. That's just 2 different public appearances.
I guess
okay, so.
So
why don't she just leave her house 10 times a day and just be like, look at that.
No, she said basically, look, if you look at my other family members, look at my mother. She's still working. Well, if she's still working, I'm going to keep working. And like you said, that's why women should rule the world. And on that,
that's not what I said. I said that's what you said. Be in the army.
That's what I heard. You said women should run the world. That's what I heard.
Awkward.
But thank you guys so much for being here with us on episode 9 of The Crown After Show. Stay tuned because we'll be right back with episode 10, our final episode of the year. Season finale for episode 10 coming up. Stay tuned. Taran, where can they find you?
Don't find me. You do not find me. I also put in 400 appearances in public a year. Okay, at I am Taran all across the board. That's IAMTHRAN on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything. And, of course, hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz After Shows because all of your favorite TV shows, my favorite TV shows, too.
And I'm Sahai Wilson. You can find me at Say Hi Sahai on Instagram and Twitter.
Mommy!
See you guys next time. Bye.
And me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.